Thank you very much. Please excuse me that we are a little brief of time, but we want to really stop quarter to nine, which is not easy for me, but so translation. Please listen. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists, who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Now, above them, the materialist who wants to enjoy the material life, and the transcendentalist who has stopped such efforts, above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. Very interesting. I just received an email where a devotee reported he went with a Sankirtan party on the Gold Coast of Australia, and in the airport, just when he arrived, all his bags were stolen, and there was a beautiful deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and embracing Haridas Thakur in the luggage. So the devotee said that he had read earlier this verse that the devotee doesn't want anything material, and now his bags were stolen, and he thought, well, now what do I want? Do I want my bags back? Do I want Krishna? How do I react with this? And there was a struggle. There was no chance to get the bags back, although it was the Gold Coast. We're gone. Someone had just stolen it for good. So the devotee said, now I could practice real renunciation of material enjoyment, and I went on Harinam and forgot everything about my bags. And so this is a little example of what Srila Prabhupada indicates here. The devotees are after the satisfaction of the Lord. They are not so attached to these ups and downs of material life. In this verse, Sri Sukadeva Goswami recommends, comes the recommendation, the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Constantly means no stop. After hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities at the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. Wow, so even if you have problems after your bags are stolen, no problem, this chanting is also good for the attached ones. According to Sri Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all the previous acharyas. There is no need of any further evidence. It's clear. This process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitful workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. The purport continues with Srila Prabhupada writing a very nice explanation on how to make the chanting really successful. He talks about avoiding the 10 offenses. I remember this was read during Srila Prabhupada's time, this purport, at the initiation ceremonies of devotees, and Prabhupada wanted them to hear this particular purport where he explained the 10 offenses and how to avoid them really clearly. There is just not enough time now to go into this, but you may read it in your own private reading time. It's an important purport, 2:1 and 11. Please join me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vrishtayine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyaya
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama
Again, my dear devotees, I request you to really focus. It says here, O King, Shukadev addresses Parikshit Maharaj, who is in anxiety. He has 7 more days to live. It's just the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And he says, listen, a constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the vase of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. And now he spreads it out, what are the different categories. including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material attachment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So three types of persons, I should say, can get full success in life by chanting. Once again, it is those who have seen the material world as illusory and become detached from it and want to attain liberation. But then this process also works for those who are very attached, who have still attachments to new telephones maybe, or partners, or what do we find in this circle? Yeah, hairstyles and sideburns and so on. Whatever your level is, I'm trying to relate to the audience. No, no problem. Chant. And if you are a devotee, a good devotee of Krishna, also you will get everything you desire. Maybe closeness to Krishna, maybe satisfying him, maybe absorbing your mind in his pastimes, maybe becoming a servant of Radharani. Everything is given to the by the holy name to all types of devotees who approach the holy name, and all types of people. And this makes the holy name at once something which distinguishes chanting from all the other processes of transcendental life. One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained this. He said, there is a great distinction between Krishna consciousness and all other processes. Let us say yoga, worship of Krishna, meditation and so on. The deciding difference is that here the way is identical with the goal, or the means to reach perfection is identical with the perfection itself. This means that a person who needs really a strong process to advance, otherwise there is no hope for him, he can chant. And also he who already sees Krishna, has personal darshan with Krishna, he also chants. It's the same formula, only that the holy name will reveal different types of benefits or gifts to the different types of devotees. I want you to take note of this at the beginning of this class, because, my dear devotees, this is the sole reason why I'm so, let me say, convinced of chanting of the holy name as really the panacea, or it's called medicine, or the process for everyone, no matter who you are. And I'm also so encouraged in my own life, because I understand, even though I'm a human being who makes mistakes and is not always so qualified, if I just stick to the lotus feet of the chanting will bring me to my secret spiritual dreams, my hopes, my highest aspiration. Because it works for both the imperfect and the perfect one. And it gives what the imperfect person needs, the beginning person needs, the person who is still struggling. It gives for him just what he needs, and the holy name gives for him who is realized, who is absorbed in devotional ecstasy, it also supplies and nourishes him with exactly what he needs. How isn't that wonderful? No? It makes things also easy. It's not so complicated. You just remember to chant. It is, well, in actual life, we will be tested if we do this. So let me start now to explain some of the glories of the Holy Name in relationship to a beginner, a person who has still a lot of material attachments and so on. What does the Holy Name do for him? And then I would like to explain what the devotee does, what the Holy Name does for the devotee on a transcendental level. Now, you must know, do you sometimes suffer? You do. Good. All the kleshas or sufferings of material existence have their origin in one main problem, and that is called avidya, or deep inner darkness, which comes because we have turned away from Krishna and we have forgotten him. It's almost like when you turn away from the sun, you look into the shadow. So we are shadow people. We have turned our back to Krishna, and now that avidya, the darkness, is there, which gives rise to your ego, to all the various desires, to this feeling of dislike or hatred towards someone or something, and which takes also care that your general mood may be a little bit un-Krishna conscious, maybe full of fear, and also full of this deep feeling of I'm suffering. You can say avidya or ignorance is something like the land and ego, desire, hatred, and clinging to material attachments. That's something which comes from this avidya, like bushes and creepers and trees grow from the landscape. All of our sufferings and miseries and our spiritual dullness, it arises from this avidya. Is it clear with this analogy from the land? So many things come from avidya. So many kleshas or material things come. This avidya is explained in a very easy way. When you are in avidya, you take the self, which is joyful, pure and eternal, to be the material body that is painful, unclean and temporary. This avidya just twists you around, it spins you around, it just turns you upside down so that you don't any longer know I'm an eternal, blissful, joyful soul. You make the mistake to think you are painful, unclean, and temporary body. Hare Krishna. You may say, Maharaj, I have soap. I'm not unclean. Hare Krishna. Keep your soap, is important. We're speaking now philosophically, not hygienically. The moment something happens under your the skin, which keeps the illusion perfect, something comes out of your body. Just think of sneeze, tea, salty water, pizza breath, from the ear what comes. No need, we want to take breakfast. I don't want to go into detail here, but yes, we are identifying with something which is so much unworthy in comparison to Sachit Ananda, our eternal nature of being full of eternality, bliss, and joy. So this comes by the thick cover of avidya. Now the chanting, my dear devotees, the chanting for a devotee, for a person who is on this level, like I know I am there, it removes this avidya more and more and more. It removes the causes of our material suffering. Mahaprabhu gave an analogy. He said the chanting removes the dust which is lying on the soul and covers us. Anyone can experience this when he chants. His attachments are no longer so prominent. During the chanting, there are sweet moments where you feel great relief. Oh, the atmosphere is so good. I'm at peace now. And sometimes there may be these rare moments which I remember Radhadev Shmelos is famous for, when you actually become convinced, oh, I'm Hare Krishna, Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. You think, I only need you, Krishna. Huh? I think all of you have sometimes made an experience like this. You look at me with an open mouth. Yes, no. Yes. Something, no. Yes. Please, what is wrong? Of course we have made this experience when we chant. It's almost as if we are, Prabhupada describes this stage as like feeling above the clouds, you know. This is a good analogy for Belgium, where there are a lot of clouds. It means it's dark and cold and you're freezing, but when you're above the clouds, oh, the sun is there, the warmth is there, the light is there. And we have all made this experience, even if we have an open mouth when this question comes. We all have made this experience because the holy name works on the consciousness by removing this thick layer of avidya, this beginningless layer which is the cause of all of our material failings and problems and so on. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes in great detail how the chanting of the holy name takes these sufferings away from us. Kleshas is a Sanskrit word. And you may ask, what is the power? What's going on here? This brings us to a second point. The power the holy name has comes from a very important thing which you need to understand if you want to chant. The name is identical with the named. In other words, the holy name is Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada made this motto for our movement, where there is, what was the sun? Please help me. Back to God, it's on the magazine. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Huh? And where there is the sun of Krishna, the Maya of material existence cannot stay. It's very simple like this. Avidya is darkness, and Krishna is the full of light and life. Some of you are full of tiredness. We need to open the window here a little bit, please. Fully opened? And breathe oxygen, then you don't have to suffer in this lecture so much. And we can respond to the holy names, my dear devotees. We have this ability that if we come together with the holy name, we become Godized. That's a new word, I know. God, you all know. Godized, you have to learn what this means. It means you become divine. Or a simple analogy, the holy name is like a fire, huh? And when you sit in the fire, after some time you become fireized. Like, yes, some new words are necessary to get you out of your drowsiness. It's just like metal, my dear devotees. When you put metal into fire, after some time it's no longer cold or hard, it is glowing and it becomes fire. Sand doesn't have this property. When you put sand into fire, it becomes black usually. If you put wood, has also not this quality. It burns, or paper, or your silk dress. It becomes burned. But the iron can respond to the fire and take on the quality of the fire. In other words, the jiva, the soul, when it is chanting, can by being in contact with Krishna's holy name, can develop a different property. It can develop freedom from suffering, and it can really fireize you or spiritualize you. In our ISKCON language, we have the word fire up. Huh? He's fired up, we say. Good. He has chanted. He had stayed in the fire of the holy name long enough so that his soul could take these qualities. Therefore, the chanting, my dear devotees, works for everyone. I've made a list here from the Bhagavatam. It works for the thief, for the drunkard, for the murderer of friends, for the killer of a brahmana, for one who defiles his guru's bed. He goes into the bed of the guru and sweats and defiles it. I don't want to put your fantasy on fire. The murderer of woman, it works for the king, the murderer of woman, someone who has killed a woman, a king. King is very bad. To kill a king is not good. His parents, who has killed the cows. The chanting, the Bhagavatam says, is the best atonement. It clarifies everything. Because when you have fire, my dear devotees, the dirt on your cloth is burned. Everything goes. And because you are a living entity, when you stay in the fire, by Krishna's power, not by your own, all of a sudden, you see some transformation. You become a good devotee. You become non-envious. You don't hate anyone, even not those who dislike you. You become secure in your life. You don't have these existential fears any longer. Will anyone like me and understand my complicated personality? No, you can actually rest in peace because the chanting of the holy name will bring you on another level of energy, another level of understanding, and another level of consciousness. Why? I'm asking. From where did the holy name have this strength? It's Krishna. You know everything. Thank you. It's Krishna. It's Krishna. Although we may not always recognize this, but it is like this. And we can see by the effect. Whenever Krishna comes anywhere, everything is purified. And even the demons who are killed by him go into the are liberated from material existence. He is that powerful. Yeah. I would like to give you a little divert now from my lecture notes. Let's just see here. Oops. I want to give you a little example how the Holy Name works by and by and by. There's often the analogy that the souls who are in material bodies and in the world dream their material life. This morning I didn't want to rise very early because I knew it's a long, long day. And so I went to bed. I put my alarm clock out of duty very early. But inside there was someone who said, a little rest is good. So I want to describe to you what happened to me this morning. I was in my dream. I was, as I like to dream of Vrindavan, I always yes, I had some appointment in my dream to come to a temple ceremony. And all of a sudden, I heard in my dream, beep, beep, beep. And I thought, well, yes, this is a dream. I'm dreaming. There's an alarm clock. It is maybe in Gokrishna's back sack. And let it ring. You know, I'm here and going to some temple in Vrindavan. I didn't know that it was my alarm clock because I was dreaming, and I made the beeping of the alarm clock part of my dream. Anyone has made a similar experience? You think, let's not take it serious. You know, it's a dream, you know, a dream of an alarm clock. But the alarm clock doesn't do you the favor. It continues beep, 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 until one day, after a few minutes usually, or 10 minutes, you say, oh my God, it's not a dream. And you are arising. So this you understand this analogy? This, my dear devotee, we do with the Holy Name. The Holy Name is coming, but because we are still in illusion, we make it part of our illusory life. Oh, it's a nice melody. Yes, that's what we do. We come once a year to Radhadesh. We meet our friends and eat something good, so on. We don't yet see it as what I want to say here. We don't see him, not it. We don't see the Holy Name as who he really is. And it is there is some sound coming, but we are still in our dream. We are still in our material life. However, my dear devotees, if you continue to just chant and stay in the kirtan and not leave the kirtan, if you can tolerate Krishna, yes, I'm speaking like this now purposefully, if you don't run away from Krishna, but you start with tolerating Krishna, and that means you stay in the kirtan without running away, then one day you will be awoken. And come to a level of Krishna consciousness, which is so beautiful, because all the kleshas, all the sufferings which come from that inner darkness have been successfully removed. This is the power of the Holy Name, my dear devotees. In a simple morning class analogy, which everyone can understand because it's in our experience. Huh? Just stay with the Holy Name. As you are now going to the... we will start our yagya at 9:55. What is it? 45, we have to be there. so that we can start at 10 o'clock sharp. Stay a maximum of time there. Navigate your life so that you take enough rest and have also very good contacts with each other. It's very nice and important to serve the devotees or be with devotees. But stay there. Stay immersed like a stone in water. One time it will happen that your heart will melt and you will be Krishna conscious. I want to end this class by reading you from the a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya and how on the highest level, that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experienced the holy name as the giver of the divine love of Godhead and the deepest ecstasy. We on our starting point on our journey, we are happy if it removes our avidya. But the holy name stays on the journey, and even a perfected devotee, this is the role Mahaprabhu plays, of course he's God, but they chant. Would you like to know the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu?
Yes!
Thank you. Due to the forceful vibration of kirtan, the entire world began trembling. It was a strong sound, my dear devotee. When everyone chanted the holy name, the devotees also made a tumultuous sound. After hearing this kirtan for some time, Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself desired to dance. When the devotees saw that their Lord wanted to dance and chant the holy name, they came around him. Seven groups, kirtan groups, were around Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They wanted to see. First, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered a line from a song. And he asked Swarup Damodar, sing this song, please, sing this song. So it brought him in the right mood, this song. Would you like to know the line of the song? Let my head fall at the feet of Jagannath in the kirtan hall known as Jagan Mohan. Jagan Mohan means it bewilders the whole universe. So I think we can also say, let my head fall at the feet of Lord Nityananda in the Radha Desh guest house room. What is it called? Community hall. Simply because of this line was so inspiring for Lord Chaitanya. Let my head go to the lotus feet of the Lord. He began dancing in great ecstatic love. And people around him soon began to float in the tears of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He cried so much. The people began to float. I think it's a very strong language. Everyone was bathed in the tears of Gauranga. Would you like to be bathed in the tears of Gauranga? Yes. What a question, of course. Raising the two arms in the air, the Lord began to encourage the devotees. You know, the devotees were starting to look. At that time, there were no mobile telephones. But they had eyes, they looked. God, he's crying so much. But Lord Chaitanya raised his eyes. Don't look! He shouted, chant! Chant! No. floating in transcendental bliss, the people were chanting the holy name of Hari. Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Yeah, much louder, but... yeah. Then the Lord became so ecstatic, he fell on the ground, he stopped breathing. The hairs on his body stood up so that he looked like a simuli tree. Simuli tree is a tree, it's a little thorny, but at the end of the thorns there's a white threads come out. You can cut them and make your own mattress from them. So he everything stood. His body was sometimes swollen, and sometimes it became lean and thin. These are symptoms of divine ecstasy. You can compare it when a high voltage current comes into an application, let us say a computer, then it blows the fuses. So when these highest ecstasies of divine love of God arrived in Lord Chaitanya's body, all kinds of amazing symptoms started to come out. His teeth moved, and this transcendental bliss increased at every moment. Therefore, even he started his kirtan in the morning, but by mid-afternoon, his dancing had not yet stopped. He was chanting. The ocean of transcendental bliss overflowed, and everyone present forgot his body, mind, and home. I wish you a wonderful Radha Desh Mellows, where some of these glimpses of divine Krishna consciousness will come to you. This clarity from suffering, may you become free from the kleshas, from the darkness which is so cruel to all of us. And may we all awaken to the level of Krishna consciousness by the power of the holy name. Please stay as much as possible. I wish you all the best for your own experience of the holy name here in this wonderful setting where so many nice kirtan singers have arrived and who are dedicated to making this event something memorable. Now there is no time for questions. I request you to take your prasadam quickly, not so quickly. Everything has to be digested nicely, but it's outside in the warm tent. And please, if you have never been punctual, today is the day to be punctual. Please be there at 9:45. The doors will be open to something which you will not forget for the rest of your life. This much I can say. Shinityananda Ram ki Gaura Premanandi Hare Krishna.
Swami ki.